Matthew chapter 5. For our study this morning, we saw last time that the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now the very fact that God sent His Son to fulfill His law declares two things to us. First, it declares to us the absolute inability of any sinner to fulfill the law by our own obedience. And the second thing it declares how absolutely necessary it is for the law of God to be fulfilled by each sinner who shall enter into His glorious presence. The law's got to be fulfilled perfectly by me and by you. Perfectly. The magnifying and honoring of God's law and the word of the prophets is of such utmost importance that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, we pick up here in verse 19. Matthew 5:19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, the first word I want us to look at this morning is this word break. This word break. "Whosoever therefore shall break one." The word means to loosen or to lessen in importance. Whosoever unlooses or unties himself or another from even one of God's commandments, whosoever shall teach men to loose themselves, unbind themselves from one of these least commandments, shall have no place in the kingdom of Christ, but he'll be esteemed by those in the kingdom of heaven as the least of all. Now, God requires perfect obedience to every word he commands without any distinctions, divisions, or lessening of any part of his law. Perfect, righteous obedience in every part is what the thrice holy God requires. Now, the second thing I want you to see here is the scribes and the Pharisees. Let's talk about them just a moment. The scribes were those who interpreted the law of God. The Pharisees were the strictest followers of the law of God. Both imagined that a sinner can actually keep the law and make himself accepted of God. Now, in order to teach this, in order to teach that righteousness comes by the law, the Pharisees and the scribes had to unloose themselves and others from certain commandments required by God's law. They had to make it so the law seemed as though a sinner has the ability to keep it. The Pharisees and scribes made the whole law of God void by simply dividing the law of God into greater and lesser law. That which is important and that which is not so important. They only regarded the letter of the law. In other words, when the law says do not commit murder, they only regarded murder as if somebody actually killed someone. But the law speaks more than that. The law speaks of the heart, of anger in the heart. And it makes us guilty of murder by our thoughts. That's where the law goes to. It speaks of heart obedience, and it condemns the hidden man of the heart. Because this is what the law says, as many as are of the works of the law. Anybody who's trying to come to God trusting in any regard to his obedience to the law, that person is under the curse. For it's written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Brother Henry Mahan used to give this illustration, and it's you may have heard it before, but he said, the man said, I can jump over a barn. And you think, well, you can jump over a barn? Yeah, if you let me build the barn. I'll just build it high enough to where I can jump over it. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. They were making the law of God out to be something that they could actually keep and actually obey. But they broke the law themselves, and they taught others. And by this manner of teaching others, they were teaching others to break the law by lessening and omitting certain commandments. And that's what everybody does who thinks that they're obeying the law, or who teaches others this self-righteous, self-sanctifying obedience to the law, wherein they cause sinners to trust in something they've done in the law, to look to their obedience to the law, to look to how well they've performed. The only way you can do that is to lessen God's law. Let no one imagine, not before Christ came, not after Christ came. Let no one imagine that the gospel lowers either the law of God or the holiness of His saints. It doesn't. There's not a law that used to be in effect and now some new law that's in effect. The law is the law. If you commit murder, you've committed murder. The Ten Commandments are just as true right now as they were before Christ came. There's no lessening of the law. Now, look at the next thing it says here. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to talk to you about doing and teaching. Doing and teaching. Whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now is the Lord implying in this verse that the believer can keep the law as God regards keeping the law? Those who are born of the Spirit of God perfectly establish the law through faith in Christ. I said that I have to perfectly obey it, and you have to perfectly obey it. The way we perfectly establish the law of God is through faith in Christ, who perfectly, righteously established the law in every jot and tittle, completely, thoroughly fulfilled the law in precept and penalty. Now, not only this, but only the believer, only the person who's born of the Spirit of God, taught of the Lord in the heart, truly understands how holy, how just, and how good the law of God really is. Only the believer understands this. I hadn't known sin. I wouldn't have known what sin is if the commandment hadn't come by the grace of God into my heart, teaching me that covetousness is a heart matter. Teaching me that murder is a heart matter. Adultery is a heart matter. Idolatry is a heart matter. Otherwise, I would compare myself with someone else and think, I do better than they do. I would go about my law obedience and think, I've done a pretty good job at this. But when the commandment came, my sin became alive to me. And I beheld, I'm not righteous. I have no righteousness. I can do no righteousness. I need a representative and a substitute. I need Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what we learn. But the believer, as he delights in the law of God, he delights in the heart, in the new man which God creates, where we understand the law, where we behold the truth of the law in spirit and in truth. Therein, we delight in the law of God. I delight in the law of God. A new heart is given. There's a new nature. There's a new desire. There's new principles. There's a newness of life, Scripture calls it. God's true ambassadors, His teachers, are the only ones who truly teach others the necessity of a perfect obedience. The perfect obedience that required God's own Son to live and to die as our representative and our substitute. Now, I want you now to look with me at something, a few scriptures. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10. Hold your place in Matthew 5 and turn with me to Romans 10. I'm going to walk through several scriptures with you for the rest of this lesson. And I want you to follow along with me. Now, the Lord said, whosoever shall do and teach. If I could divide Romans chapter 10 into two headings, I would divide it into this: doing and teaching. Doing and teaching. Look at the last verse of Romans 10. He's to Israel. He saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient people. They didn't do the law. And a gainsaying people. They didn't teach it either. They taught how a man can get gain without Christ Jesus the Lord. That's gainsaying. Now turn with me back to Romans 10, and let's read down through these first three verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul is talking of his own kinsmen according to the flesh, that is, national Israel, the Israelites. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're very excited, very energetic for God, but not according to knowledge. The key of knowledge is gone. Nobody's taught them the truth of the gospel. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, verse 3 mentions two kinds of righteousness. It mentions man's own righteousness, and it mentions God's righteousness. What's my own righteousness? Let me read this to you, and some of you can turn there with me, Philippians 3. Now, Paul knew what it was to be in the church of Israel. Let's say it that way. He knew what it was to be in that congregation in Israel. And he knew what they taught. He'd been just like them, a Pharisee of Pharisees, strict as he could be. But now when the Lord had given him this newness of life in the Spirit, this is what he said, verse 9. He says, well, let's read verse 8. I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. There's the knowledge they were ignorant of, because therein's the righteousness of God revealed. For whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now listen to this. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. There it is. That word, mine own righteousness. What is that? He tells us. Which is of the law. But, he says, I want that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. All right, back there in Romans 10. Romans 10:3. Now, we just saw the righteousness of the law. It's not that Paul did not walk honorably before God. It's not that he didn't beseech the brethren to abstain from fleshly lust, to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. It's not that at all. It's that he didn't want any of his obedience to the law of God to be that wherein he stood before God. He didn't want to be judged by God based on his obedience. He wanted it to be all on Christ's obedience. Now look with me here in Romans 10:3. Now, here's the righteousness of God. It spoke of our own righteousness, and now it speaks the righteousness of God. What's the righteousness of God? It says here in verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they were going about to establish their own righteousness, which is of the law. Paul said, I don't want anything to do with that. Because they didn't submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. What's the righteousness of God? You still hold your place there in Romans 10, but look back at Matthew 5, 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. There's the righteous obedience I want to stand in. There's the perfect obedience I must stand in. The righteous obedience of my Lord, the Son of God. That's the righteousness I want to stand in. All right, look at Look at verse 4. How am I going to stand in that righteousness? Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, he's going to explain that to us. Listen, Moses, this is the law. This is the righteousness of the law. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. Here it is. This is the righteousness which is of the law. It has much more to do with just being justified from my past sins. Listen to it. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And he's got to continue in all things written in the law, in thought, word, and deed. But the righteousness which is of faith, this is that righteousness of God. This is that righteousness of Christ. Here's what it says. It says, it speaks on this wise. Now look down at verse 8, so you won't get confused here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You mean simply by believing, I can perfectly establish the righteousness of the law in perfection? That's exactly what it said. A man believeth unto righteousness. Now, look at verse, look at the next verse here. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This righteousness, this perfect righteousness is salvation. It is salvation. It is that which is assures me that I shall be saved. It assures me I have been, I am being saved, and I shall be saved. No charge will be laid against me, because in the perfect obedience of my Savior, I'm righteous. In the justification He accomplished by His death, I'm justified. In all regards, I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, my representative and my substitute. Now, look at the second half of this chapter in Romans 10:14. It says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, he said that faith comes by hearing. And we saw that a man believeth unto righteousness. This righteousness comes through faith. And this faith comes through hearing the gospel preached. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the man who does the law and teaches others, this man shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. How did we do the law in perfect righteousness? By trusting Christ. How do we teach others to do the law in perfect righteousness? Teaching them to trust Christ. Now, stay with me. So what do we teach men? What do we teach men? Told you a place there in Romans 10. Go back to Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. We preach Christ, the end of the law for righteousness. Now, look at Romans 1 with me. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. What comes through faith? The righteousness of God is imputed to us through faith. Faith cometh by hearing. It's the power of God unto salvation, unto righteousness. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, in this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now look with me at Romans 3. Romans 3. Verse 20. By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What did Matthew 5:17, what did the Lord say? I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. I don't want the righteousness of my own, which is by my obedience, which is by my doing the law. I want the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteous servant of God. That's the obedience I want. That's the righteousness I want to stand in. So then, it comes upon all them that believe, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and were justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now look down at verse 31, that same chapter. Just as the Pharisees thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was saying He was against the law and against the prophets, just as the prophets of old were accused of the same thing, just as Christ our Savior was accused of the same thing, the Apostle Paul was accused of the same thing, and those in our day who preach Christ are accused of the same thing, being against the law. Look what Paul says, verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Our Lord said, not one jot or tittle of this law is going unfulfilled. It's got to be established in perfect righteousness, in precept and in penalty. Do we make it void? Those who teach that there is some obedience, and it's not teaching the law, it's not teaching obedience. That's not the problem. Everyone should be obedient. The apostles are very clear in that we don't walk in the manner we used to walk. We walk in love. We walk in the fruit of the Spirit with love and mercy and long-suffering. Against the such there is no law. But, and we know what God's law says. We know what it says in our hearts. We know that this law says that the law is much more than just a letter. It's a spirit. The law is spiritual. It speaks to the heart. The only way we know this is by God-given faith. Trusting Christ, we fully, perfectly, more than any other lawmonger, more than any other legalist, more than any other scribe or Pharisee, we don't make void the law, we establish the law. Establish the law perfectly. The moral law is confirmed and established through faith in Christ. And furthermore, the perfect righteousness of the law is imputed to the believer. It's charged to the believer's account. And not only this, but by the new birth, we are sanctified. We are given this nature wherein we delight in the keeping of the law. We keep it imperfectly ourselves. But we know the law hasn't come down any. The law is exactly what the law was. The law's been established, it's holy, and the law's been established in holiness by our Savior. But now we walk after our Savior. And grace restrains us in the heart. Love keeps us in the heart. It's our motivation. It's our restraint. It's our constraint. It's that which moves us and motivates us and causes us to go after an obedient life. And so we try to walk outwardly to manifest the delight we have of the law in our hearts. Our failures cause us to continually stay on Christ. And that's what our Lord's going to teach here in this Sermon on the Mount, is what it comes down to. When He thoroughly expounds the very heart nature of His law, it causes a believer to say in his heart, I want to do that. I want to do that. And it causes him to try his best as he goes through his life to keep it. But it also causes him continually to fall at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I thank You. I want to be found in your righteousness, not having mine own righteousness, but your righteousness. This we do, and this we teach. Christ is the righteousness which excels, and He's the only righteousness in which we trust. The only one. Any other, you have to bring the law down to your level. And God won't allow that. God won't have that. We got to come to God in the holy, righteous obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll pick that up further as we go.